We all get wounded. Have you ever had a broken bone? I've had many. Have you ever had stitches? I've had a few, mostly to my head, so nothing serious. You ever had a surgery? Have any of you ever had a knife wound in the kitchen or in the alley? You ever gotten a gunshot wound? We all get wounded, but the most serious wounds are the ones you can't see. They're the ones that are not physical, but emotional and spiritual. The kind of wounds we saw in the video we just watched. So in Matthew 5, verse 4, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will receive comfort." You might be here this morning, you might be wondering, how can I be happy after a broken heart? Jesus says, by receiving the comfort of God. Today I want to tell you how you can experience the comfort of God when your heart is hurting. In Matthew 5, we have the opening lines of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And he makes these 8 positive statements about happiness called the Beatitudes. And I've called this series Life Apps because according to Jesus, these 8 qualities are the things you need in life if you're going to really live. We said last week that the word blessed that begins each of these sentences means happy. So today we're looking at the healing app. Jesus teaches us how to be happy in spite of our circumstances, even when we've been hurt. The Bible never tries to explain suffering, but it does teach us how we can handle it. And there are some things about pain you must know if you're going to survive it. Number one, realize that pain is a part of life. To never have any pain in your life is to be inhuman. I mean, you might as well be Data on Star Trek. I mean, he never cries. But if you're a human being, you have physical pain, you have emotional pain, you have spiritual pain. We tend to want to avoid pain at all costs. But I've discovered that every single person has hidden hurts. No one is exempt. Suffering is a grim reality of the human condition. Many people make a common mistake when they experience pain. When they're hurting, they think that God has abandoned them. The opposite is quite true. It says in Psalm 34 that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So when we're hurting, we forget where God is. We think he's distant, or we think that he doesn't care. But this verse says very clearly, he's never closer to you than when you're hurting, when you're in pain. Pain is so traumatic, most of us remember the very first time you had a broken heart. Mine was a 5th grade. Her name was Tina Timpano. I'll never forgive her. She dumped me. Somebody said, it's just puppy love. Well, it was real for the puppy. So the first thing is to realize that pain is a part of life. It's a part of everyone's life. No one is exempt from it. And number two, remember that pain has a God-given purpose. A lot of people do not know this. This is important to know when you go through pain. When we had our first child, we attended these classes. I think they were called Lamaze classes or something like that. And the instructor said to us, this process is pain with a purpose. It is intense, but it will be worth it. That really helped me. That really helped me get through that. Jesus said in John 13, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. Isn't that the problem? We don't understand it. We don't realize what the good is. We don't understand what the purpose is behind the pain. So what do you do while you're waiting? What do you do when you need relief today, when your heart is hurting and you can't see the purpose that God has at work in this situation? Well, the Bible says there are 3 things you need to remember when you're in pain. Number one, God is aware. He's aware of your pain. It says in Psalm 56, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. You see what that verse is saying? Nothing escapes his eye. God is watching over you. In fact, it says he collects your tears. He says they're recorded in a book. Some of you say, nobody knows what I'm going through. God knows. The Bible says God cares. It says in Nahum, the Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him. That verse is saying we have a sympathetic Heavenly Father who really cares. Your pain matters to God. It really does. You can talk to him about your hurt. The Bible says God wants to help you. It says in Hebrews 4, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So God not only offers us awareness, he offers us assistance. God not only cares about your hurt, he wants to help you with your hurt. He doesn't just write you a note, I'm thinking of you at this time. That never helps much, does it? You know, some people grow through their pain and some people get stuck in their pain. Some people go through their hurt and some people get stuck in their hurt. Why? Because many people never take this next step. These first two things are good. They're important. You need to know that everyone goes through pain and that when you go through that pain, God cares and God is aware and God wants to help you. And if I just said that to you this morning, that would be pretty good. But you've got to go further. You've got to go past that. You've got to go to step number three. You've got to release the hurt. You've got to let it go. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you do that by stop focusing on what's lost and start focusing on what's left. Isaiah was complaining to God, struggling with God because of some of the things that happened to his people. And God said this. He said, forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. So God takes Isaiah and says, you know, stop looking backwards. Stop looking at your past and look forward and see what I want to do. I think God would say that to all of us. He'd say, let your past go. It can't hurt you anymore. Some of you are hurt by people who've hurt you in the past, but you're choosing to let those people hurt you. That's a dumb thing to do. They can't hurt you anymore unless you let them hurt you. So you got to release it. You got to release the hurt. You know, whenever you get hurt, you have certain options. You can repress it. You can push it down. You can swallow it. You know, 50 years ago, industrialists thought they could just bury toxic waste and it would just go away. We've since learned it doesn't just go away. It makes trouble. It leaks into the water table. It contaminates crops. It kills animals. It hurts people. You know, buried grief is like that. Raw time doesn't heal a thing. In fact, it makes matters worse. Buried pain leaks into your emotional system, and it wreaks havoc, and it distorts your perceptions of life, and it taints your relationships. And that contamination happens subconsciously. You can repress a pain. You can repress it or you can rehearse it. That's where you just go over and over in your mind. You just keep torturing yourself by going over and over and over, dwelling on the past. It consumes your thoughts. You know, there's a big difference between mourning and moaning. Jesus says, those who mourn, you know, legitimately are hurt, they will receive comfort. But moaning, that's something different. That's just self-pity. That's just self-loathing. Oh, poor me, poor me. And you want to hold on to it because you want to have a pity party. Or you can resent it. You know, when somebody hurts us, what do we want to do? We fantasize about how we can get even, how we can get back at that person the same way they hurt us or they hurt somebody that we love. You know, this past week, the week before last, they killed Osama bin Laden. You know, if anyone deserved it, he did. But you know, in many places, I was amazed at the partying, the laughing, the shouting. I thought, you know, those people, if they're full of resentment, they're going to pay for it longer than he did. Because resentment is like cancer. It eats you up. It just eats you alive and it destroys you. I'm just reading a really interesting book the last few days. It's called Open. It's the autobiography of Andre Agassi. It's a book about a man who, although one of the greatest tennis players of all time, he spent most of his life living in pain and resentment. I mean, understandably so. He had a brutally bully of a father. He had people who took advantage of him. His life was never his own. It's understandable, but he talks about all these stupid things he does because of this anger and this resentment and this pain. But we all do that. We're all like him. But the fourth thing, the right thing to do is you can release it. You can release your hurt to God. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it says this in Romans 12. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. So that's the starting point in releasing a hurt, in releasing pain. You have to let go. You have to say, God, I'm going to let you settle a score. I'm going to let you take care of this. I mean, if somebody's hurt you, let God handle it. I mean, who can do a better job at it? God can do a better job at it, right? And the truth is, most of the things that hurt us most deeply are things that are out of our control anyway. Someone did something to us, and we were powerless. We couldn't do anything about it. But it's never out of God's control. So give it to Him. You know, never forget that God's aware of everything you've gone through. There's a passage in the Bible, Psalm 10. It's sometimes been called the victim psalm. And in that psalm, the writer says, you know, Lord, there's those guys out there, and they're hurting people, and they're hurting helpless people, and they're taking advantage of people. And they're going, what's the hey? God's not watching. He's not going to do anything about it. We can get away with it. And the writer of the psalm says this, but you, God, see the trouble and the grief that caused. You take note of it and punish them. The helpless put their trust in you. You defend the orphans. He's saying, leave it to the hands of God. Let God fight the battles. He can do a better job. What do you do with the anger you have inside when you lose something or something's taken away and you're angry about it? What do you do with that? Well, you take the anger and you turn it into something constructive. You use that energy to help other people. In this book about Andre Agassi, he comes to this point of healing. He says, this is the only perfection, the perfection of helping others. Mothers Against Drunk Driving is a good example. People who are angry, with every right to be angry, because children or husbands or spouses or whatever have been killed by a drunk driver. But they channel that anger. They use it in a right way to reduce the number of drunk drivers on the road. That's a legitimate use of anger. Barbara Johnson says, pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. That's good. You know, if you're mourning, if you're in grief, if you're hurting, realize God is with you. He's close to the brokenhearted. If you're mourning today, if you're hurting today, God's never been closer to you. Realize He's aware. He cares. He wants to help you. Give Him the hurt. Release it to Him. Don't dwell on the past. Don't resent it. Don't rehearse it, don't repress it, release it to God. Let Him have it. And then number four, rely on God's resources. Rely on God's resources to comfort you. I mean, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will receive comfort. So how can I be happy in the midst of trials, of tragedies? Receive God's comfort. Now, God used certain things to comfort us. I mean, I'm amazed at what people try to find comfort from. Pills, getting drunk, affairs, watching TV all the time, reading novels, fantasizing novels. Some people try to sleep all the time. They try all kinds of things to get rid of the pain in their life. And God says, don't do those things. What are the ways that God comforts us? I'm going to give you just three this morning. I'm not saying these are all of them. These are the three really important ones. One is His Word. In the Bible, His Word are 7,000 promises. I'm amazed as I read through the Bible and I underline those promises. I'm amazed how often those promises speak exactly into my life what I need to hear. I'm going, wow, I'm so glad I read that. I'm so glad I know that's there. David said the same thing. He said, I lie in the dust, revive me by your word. I meditate on your age-old regulations. Oh, Lord, they comfort me. You know, the book of Psalms, if you're going through a difficult time, the book of Psalms, one of the reasons it's there is to bring comfort. Read it. Underline the parts that bring comfort to you. I know in this size group, you know, there'd be a lot of pain. Behind the pretty faces, there's a lot of pain. You say, does God have a word for me? His answer, the answer is yes, He does. He does have a word for you. The word is, your pain matters to Him. He sees it. He understands it. He feels it. He knows your frustration. He knows the hurt. Look to God's word for the promises. And then the second way God brings comfort is through His people. It says in 2 Corinthians 1, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So first, a good reminder, we're not to live isolated from one another. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We need each other to make it. If you don't have a family, the church can be your family. That's what the church is meant to be. So if you're hurting today, I want you to know you're not alone in your hurt. You probably think your problem is unique. It's not true. No matter what your problem is, it's not unique. Hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of other people through the history of humanity have struggled with the exact same problem you have right now. The chances are, even in a crowd this size, there are people here going through the exact same problem you're going through. If you all open up and share about it and tell people how you're hurting, then other people who have been through that can bring comfort to you. That's the value of the church. Now, let me say, this works best when the church acts small, when the church has small groups, house churches. We don't do this very well on Sunday morning. There's too many people. You get all these people together, 300 people in one building. It's hard for us to care for one another. But when you break the church into smaller parts, like we do in our house churches, it works well. It doesn't work so well on Sunday morning. Sometimes people say, I came to church and I was really hurting and no one took notice. Well, it's not practical. It just can't happen. There's just too many people, too many things going on. You need face-to-face conversation. You need heart-to-heart conversation. You know, when somebody says, I'm having a tough time with my teenagers, other people can say, you know, we've been through that. We have had that experience too. We've been there. You know, if you're not in pain, what does this verse mean? Well, this verse means that if you're not in pain, but you can remember that painful experience you went through, God's taken you through that experience so you can bring comfort to other people. So you can turn around and say to another person, you know, I know what you're going through. You don't need to have it all figured out. You don't need to be a counselor. You don't need to have all the lessons learned. It's just helpful to say to that person, I understand. I know what it's like to have a child die. I know what it's like to go through a divorce. I know what it's like to lose a job overnight. I know what it's like to miss a goal or a dream. Guy just told me, I was standing in a funeral line on Friday night. The guy said, you know, my wife died early on in our marriage. He was telling me his story as we stood in that line for 3 hours waiting to see Harold. He said, you know, my wife died, and what drove me crazy is the people that came out and said, oh, I know what you're going through. He said, you know, I wanted to hear from the people who had lost a spouse. They know my pain. Isn't that the way? Doesn't it feel better just when you know someone else has walked through this? So God's plan is this. If you have had a problem in your life, it's your responsibility to help others. That's your ministry. So God wants to use our hurt so we can encourage others. Whether you learned anything or not, just say, I understand. I know where you're coming from. I remember the loneliness. I remember the rejection. I remember what it felt like to grow up with alcoholic parents. I know what it's like to be brought up by a mom who walks out the door and never comes back. I know what it's like. Sitting in this room, you know, there are people who, they need your comfort, not your criticism, your comfort. The third way is the Spirit, God's Spirit. He says in Romans 15, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is the greatest comfort of all, that God Himself wants to be your friend. Just a couple weeks ago, we had Easter. We talked about at Easter how Jesus died, and in 3 days He rose again. And when He came back to see His disciples, He said to His disciples, I'm going to heaven. That's where I'm going to stay from this point on. But I'm going to send you someone. He says, I'm going to send the Spirit of God. And He says, the Spirit of God is your comforter. That's the role of the Spirit of God, is to bring comfort in your life. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you alone. You know, from the moment I started following Jesus in my life, I'm not talking about religion here. I'm not talking about whether you're Catholic or Protestant or Jewish, whatever. I don't care about that. Jesus came to end religion. I'm talking about having a relationship with God. I'm talking about following God, saying, God, I want to follow you. From that moment, God put His Spirit in my life. I didn't necessarily feel different, but I could see it working out in my life as I went along. So the Holy Spirit comes into our life not to make it some kind of weirdo, not to make it some kind of religious oddball, but to bring comfort, to help you get through those situations. You know, I didn't feel any different when I made that decision, but I've noticed results over my lifetime. You know, when I didn't think it, I could make it anymore, I had help. You know, when I thought I was going to give up, I had help. I had power in my life. He wants the same for you. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to follow Him. You know, in fact, the verse says when God puts His Spirit in your life, you know, you'll overflow with confident hope. That's what you need to get through the crisis. As a pastor, I've walked with people through tough times, times of grief. You know, psychologists see emotional pain, and doctors see physical pain, and bankers see financial pain. You know, pastors see it all. Pastors deal with people experiencing pain. Financial pain, and relational pain, and physical pain, and emotional pain, and marriage pain, and parenting pain. There's nothing worse than being at a funeral where there's no hope because there's no God, there's no Christ, there's no hope. But the Bible says when Jesus comes into your life, we overflow with confident hope. It says this in Revelation 21. It says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to going to heaven someday and receiving that. I'm not trying to scare you into heaven. I'm not going to say, well, you might die tonight. You're not going to probably die tonight, but you got to live tomorrow. And between today and the time you die, you're going to go through some very difficult tragedies and crises. And if you're denying that, you're just fooling yourself. You're going to face major trials and tragedies in your life. And what's going to hold you together? What's going to help you get through that? How are you going to get up in the morning when you go through that crisis, that tragedy? What's going to give you hope? You know, I see people going through tragedies and they're falling apart. And I think, how senseless. That's too bad. God wants to help them. God wants to strengthen them. And God will help you if you'll let Him. When you go down in a submarine, they pressurize the cabin. The pressure on the outside of the submarine, of the cabin, would cause the submarine to implode if they didn't equalize the pressure on the inside. So when you're going through pain, the only way to equalize the pressure put on you from the outside is to be filled with God's Spirit on the inside, and that equalizes the pressure so you don't cave in a crisis. Some of you, you might not be far away from a collapse. You came here today and you're hurting and you can hardly hold the tears back. So I want to say to you, God cares. He knows your pain. He feels your pain. He's aware of the frustration in your life. He's aware of the guilt and the anger and the resentment, the fear, the depression. He says, I want to help you. That's what Jesus says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall receive comfort. Comfort's available. Not in pills, not in drinking, not in affairs or movies or books or whatever, but in God. Those other things, they don't last. You have to keep taking, you have to keep doing, they never fully satisfy. So turn to God for help for your hurting heart. I just challenge you, give your life away. Realize God's taking you through that crisis so you can help other people. You know, if you've got kids that have gone off the deep end, just talk about that. Share that with people because you'll meet other people. Say, yeah, my kids are going off the deep end too. Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for empathizing. If you've gone through a divorce or a problem or whatever, failure, some kind of problem at work, you've lost a loved one, that can become a ministry of encouraging others. Today it's been my hope that you would know that God cares. The Bible says, He's seen everything that's taken place in your life. He's hurt when you've hurt. Some of the things that have happened in your life, you're never going to get an explanation for it. Life is not fair. God's will is not always done. That's why Jesus told us, pray that God's will be done, because it isn't always done. You know, we have a choice, and people make bad choices. And when they make bad choices, innocent people get hurt. But the Bible does tell us how to handle the hurt. I don't know if you remember the story of Joseph in the Bible. Maybe you remember as Donny Osmond in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I mean, it's a guy who's the first chapter of his life, the first 40 years of his life. What a rotten deal. I mean, the guy is neglected and rejected. He's sold into slavery by his brothers. He's falsely accused of rape. He's thrown into prison, then he's forgotten in prison, and he's falsely accused again. I mean, his whole life is just a mass of heartache. But when you read the end of the story, you realize that God was preparing him. And through those circumstances, he ends up being second in command in Egypt. And he not only saved Egypt, but he saved Israel. At the end of his life, he's face to face with his betraying brothers. He says this, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." So there are many people who've harmed you, and they've harmed you as a child. They might be harming you right now, emotionally or physically or some other way. They're out to harm you, and they want to hurt you. But God says this to you, "I have a plan and a purpose that's bigger than any of your problems." You know what I like about Joseph? Is later on in life, he had two sons, and he named them Manasseh and Ephraim. Do you know what those names mean? Manasseh means, in Hebrew, "He made me to forget." And Ephraim means fruitful or successful. So later in life, 40 years of pain, he could say, "God has blessed me so much, I can see the picture clear now. He's made me to forget all that pain of my childhood, and he's made me successful." That's what he wants to do in your life. But you can't repress it, or rehearse it, or resent it. You have to release it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your word, that it comforts us in our sorrows. Life is not always fun and great, but you are always great. We don't know what the next week holds, but we know that with you in our lives, we have the strength to overflow with confident hope. I hope that today some people are opening their life to you, saying, "God, I want to follow you. I want to follow Jesus. I want your presence in my life. Help them not to fear, but to realize how much you love them. Surround them with your arms of love, and let this be a turning point in their life today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. We'll sing one last song together. Please stand.
Thank you.
I pray you will go into this day and week knowing God's presence in your life. Have a great day.